Good Friday afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we're here until the hour of six, your favorite duo, your favorite drive time show on your favorite radio station. That's a lot of your favorites. And we are, we are proud to call ourselves that. And today we picked the right topic for the day. It's a Friday, so weekends, today we picked the right time for the day. It's a weekend, so weekends are more often family time. And that's what today's discussion is based on. Now, before you start saying, oh, no, I don't have a family, no, come on. Well, unless you are a bachelor, of which, don't worry, you are not the only one.
Like Dwight.
I know.
Like Helmut.
Bachelor life.
But Helmut is slightly hiding a detail, but we won't out it. We won't.
Bachelor life, bachelor life has, I've come to learn that in life, everything has pros and cons. Everything has pros and cons. Bachelor life, you can say, okay, you know what, I have this and this advantage and this and this advantage, I'm enjoying this, but when it comes to doing the dishes, hey, that's when bachelor life goes to you. Makes you go like, I mean, I've been doing this like, look, I'm alone. I've been doing this like for, forever now.
Do you know what?
I cook and do the dishes, and cooking is a scheme. You spend an hour cooking, 5 minutes of eating, and then another hour of doing the dishes. Like, really?
Well, if the 5 minutes of eating is eating, Helmut, because in many cases for us men, it's usually wolfing it down, you know? We don't even breathe. You just see, hi. You just see madness, okay, taking place. But yeah.
You're not helping our case, man.
Hey, you know, we gotta speak about the realities. You know, we're realists. But here's the thing, Albert. You know what is an actual scam?
Yeah.
The laundry. You see, if you're someone like Dwight that buys cotton-induced products, and then you realize, oh my goodness, I have to iron this stuff?
Yeah.
That is a scam. That's probably the only part where the two genders actually agree, hands down, on the ironing of wrinkles out of the clothing is a nightmare.
I ran into two female friends of mine who told me the same thing that I haven't done like ever in my life. Oh, well, turns out you are supposed to iron bed sheets. I'm like, huh?
Yes,
really?
You're supposed to iron bed sheets.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? It's not like I'm going to walk out with it. The only reason I'm ironing my shirt is because I'm walking out with it.
Yeah.
But why am I ironing bed sheets? Wait, you haven't ironed your bed sheets? I'm like, yeah. Like ever? I'm like, well, now that you put it that way, it wasn't weird when I was just living my life without that knowledge. Now, thanks to peer pressure. But it turns out it's very easy because all you just have to do is, well, just put it in bed and then just iron the whole thing.
No, Helmut.
Look, that's a shortcut I've been practicing.
No, Helmut, that's you burning a hole into your bed, Helmut.
Not really. Look,
that's
take your
the
bed
quickest in. You'll burn a hole in your bed.
That's also the quickest way to iron.
No, Helmut.
Wait, do you use an iron board to iron your bed sheets?
Yes.
No, Helmut. Are you kidding me? How many folding am I going to do?
Do you know what is this aspect of setting up your tools to do the job?
Housekeeping?
When you've got the right tools, use the tools for the right job.
Yeah, I use my trousers. I use my, I use my trousers and shirts. I use the ironing board for my trousers and shirts.
Okay.
That's one's. In a million when I'm going to church. I can't imagine ironing, I can't imagine ironing my bed sheet using an ironing board. That's gonna take forever. And that, ladies and gentlemen.
It does take forever. It's not that it will take forever, as in trying to find a short. Ironing does take forever. You will spend an hour ironing four things. I've timed myself before. I was mad with rage. I even wanted to decide right there. I will never ever wear clothes again. So as to just not technically have to do the laundry and then iron. Helmut, if you follow the way specifically that, if you've ever seen your mom iron clothes like I had to, and you try to follow the same exact style, the folding, doing everything nice, ironing between the pleats and ironing where and ironing how, you will take an hour for 4 t-shirts.
Oh, no. Well, in that case, then I don't think, in that case, then when it comes to ironing,
your whole legs will be as heavy as stones because you were standing for that hour on one spot.
Okay, in that case, then when it comes to ironing, I'm the Flash. Yeah, I don't follow particular, instructions. I just take a shit and then, first of all, step one, locate the wrinkles and then iron out the wrinkles. Because, well, in my very philosophical mind, what is the point of ironing a part of a shirt that is not wrinkled? For ironing is to straighten wrinkles.
Oh, people see when there's a wrinkle and when a shirt has not been ironed.
I know how to justify my, my laziness. But, look.
Okay.
I have lived in a house with females my whole life. And those guys, when it's their turn to cook, they take forever. And then it's my turn to cook. Oh,
I think it's the electric stove, Helmut.
Oh, yeah. Just like that, I'm done. And then the food comes and everyone's like, are you sure this fish is cooked? Because it looks like it's still staring at us.
Helmut, no. Okay, guys, now you know. What to eat when you go and visit Helmut?
Please come with your own lunchbox.
Yeah.
All right. So, today's a family discussion, a family oriented discussion I'm saying it's a family discussion as in one of those discussions we don't usually have. Yeah. Because it's more social discussion based. It's more social based. We are more into geopolitics, geoeconomics, geo that, or more like, whether it's geo or national or, regional, by that I mean continental, we like to look at things that's coming out of the political and economic sphere. Economic sphere. Now that basically encompasses everything, especially energy. Man, do we talk a lot about energy? Now, today's discussion is about, GBVF. That was new, gender-based violence. And
femicide.
Femicide.
And then violence against children.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing I've learned, this report reminded me of a comedy show, a dark humor show called Titus.
I'm glad you highlighted like a dark humor
show. Yeah, a dark humor show because, one guy, kept being panel beaten by his girlfriend. And then he was just too shy to point out because she was short and less muscular. And he didn't want to reveal to his homies that, he was being panel beaten. Now, I think, in my comedy mindset, my gender, our toxic masculinity will get us killed because we can get beaten up. We are never going to reveal that. First of all, not advising, obviously. This is just my point of view on the subject. I don't see myself standing at the police officer saying, "Officer, I want to open a case." Yeah, well, what happened? I got beaten. By who? My girlfriend. Speak louder, I can't hear. My girlfriend. Oh, you got beaten up by your girlfriend. Oh, but officer, look, this is easy. There are a lot of reasons. There are a lot of reasons that are basically found, including in this report, why people don't just discuss, these issues, even if they are happening to them. And, it's very common in relationships. And the same thing can be said with women. Someone will show up at the hospital with a blue eye and he asks them, "What happened? I fell downstairs." You live in a Kambashi, which downstairs? Now, that's where you now, that's where you now, begin to realize just how complex this problem is. First of all, like all other societal problems, it's not caused by one thing. It's caused by multiple things. Now, to try at least and address that, you have to look at all these multiple things because, they don't all have the same solution.
Yeah.
That's why it becomes somewhat very complicated.
But here's the thing, Amun. Okay, you obviously started off on one particular dimension as well, because the startling thing, which is something that I have seen before about our conversation today, and just for our listeners, dear listeners, it is based upon the problematic minds report that comes from the One Economy Foundation. Which is a conversation that actually reveals a lot more startling things. I'll share the dimension that I am most shocked about.
Yeah.
But the dimension that I have seen, heard, this is personally and as well as also being aware of certain scenarios where there is violence in a household setting.
Yeah.
Is that in many cases, when it comes to gender-based violence, it is a discussion of, these are couples. This is man-woman.
More often, yeah.
More often than anything. In some cases, I've also heard that it sometimes is also the same-sex couples.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot, specifically under the women's same-sex couples.
Yeah.
I've heard that there's a lot of, let's rather call it anger management issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so glad.
Hang on a second. I came across that. I thought it was just one of those.
Yeah, I didn't follow. It won't be so obvious in front of you, you know, in terms of you realizing, but this is someone that has like pent up emotions from something, but you can't understand how it translates to the setting in front of you. You don't know what motivates it from that side. You will sometimes see, it'll sometimes be people that overreact. You would see, you and the other people would be in the majority of seeing, why is this person overreacting like this? Until you are one day on a rainy day somewhere down the line, you have a couple of beers with the person and you ask the person, you know, why did you react like that on that day? And then the person will probably, you know, open up their heart and, you know, just start emotional dumping on you. Which is obviously also many things that people don't want, like everyday people, because in many cases we are now being told go see a therapist, but therapists are expensive.
Yep.
I mean, it's $1,000 plus per session every time. Not all of us are also on medical aids that can take that punch.
Yeah.
So when you get to this particular discussion of when violence starts emanating from a household setting. And please, dear listeners, our discussion is not based upon the setting of trying to tie in domestic violence or gender-based violence with violence that you would see in a general setting, for example, like the police reports. Well, even though the police reports actually reflect a lot of gender-based violence, domestic violence settings across the country. Now, the setting here is, Helmut, as a one of... Do we really understand on a household level how we try to achieve, the setting of having a wonderful, peaceful, safe, secure society across the country? Do we understand the thinking behind that? Because the thing is, and this is unfortunately what I sometimes see is, some people know what the root cause of violence in societies are. Some people don't know what the root cause of violence in societies are. In many cases, sometimes violence, Helmut, stems from an economic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But then in other cases, which is the predominant scenario, violence stems from a household perspective. If, and I'm sorry for many of our listeners probably who would have such experiences, if you've had a very abusive parent, or very violent parent, or a parent that had an alcohol problem, or a parent that was a substance user. If you know any of these, just these four things that I mentioned here, and in many cases, this parent is either the husband or the father, and you have witnessed specifically your mother being beaten by your father, that, and this is a proven psychological research point that has been done, that transfers violent tendencies onto children. The child then goes out into the world. If it's a boy, the boy sees, this is how my father treated my mother. This is how I am going to treat a woman that I am interested in.
Two terrible words to combine.
Yes, it's so, because it usually has a possessive element.
Oh.
They incorporate, okay. Yeah, they have this possessive, approach over their partner. You also get the setting, look, disputes between partners happens every day.
Yeah.
It can be anything from groceries to why didn't you clip your nails to why didn't you use the toilet properly to why are you eating open mouth like that. It'll be a myriad of things.
Yeah.
Because remember, these are two people who have committed to live in the same space for the rest of their lives. You're breathing too loud. You're snoring too loud. Why did you do that? Why did you do this? Who are you looking at? Who are these? Who is Charmaine? If there's a Charmaine, I'm sorry. I'm just using your name because it popped up. Who is a Michelle? Who is a Lavinia? All those, you know, particular dimensions.
Poor Lavinia.
Sorry, Michelle's and Miss Lavinia's out there. Now, from that particular thing. Now, remember, I'm bringing in a broad concept that has been proven that exists. That broad concept translates now into a household setting. No one in society wants to go and try and assist and deal in a household setting where the husband or the boyfriend or the male partner is busy beating the female partner, the wife, the girlfriend. No one wants to step in because the first thing you'll be told, because I had this discussion specifically just to let people know, I've got two people that studied psychology in my family. And when we were talking about domestic violence scenarios, and I said, you know, if I try to intervene to try and stop the boyfriend from beating his girlfriend, and then the first thing I was told, don't ever do that. You'll put the victim in more harm's way, because then the perpetrator, the boyfriend, will then suspect you of having an affair with his partner. And then she gets beaten even more.
Okay, so what are you supposed to do? Just watch and do nothing?
Or report it, stuff like that. Jeez. Or you will become the target of the anger. Now you are in a fight that you didn't want to be in. Or you might end up in a body bag. Because people are carrying grudges because you stopped him from, you know,
going to
having
jail?
having his kick out of beating up his girlfriend or his wife. Or you get reported for something weird, because many times in many cases, like the shows and the things I've seen, is that many of these violent partners have got they are people that they don't drop grudges. They catch grudges very quickly. So now you step from that setting.
Okay.
You step from that. I've seen those things in real life. And I was like, I'm not ever getting involved in there. If the girlfriend or the wife does not recognize that she's in harm's way, I'm not getting involved. So when you step from those particular angles, that's just laying the foundation for what the report speaks to.
Yeah.
Because remember, in the report, the people that were interviewed that were the perpetrators were people that already killed their partners.
Yeah.
And the victims that were interviewed were already victims who had the opportunity of surviving.
Yeah.
And sought help. So we are sitting with, after the fact of the matter scenarios in this report. So, when you look at after the fact of the matter scenarios, we realize that there is potentially a bigger problem that this report speaks to, even though they were focused in their coverage, meaning where they went and interviewed people, this report speaks to something far darker, far sinister. And you sometimes don't see it like, you know, very obvious in certain scenarios. In other cases, you see it very obvious.
Okay, but now the first example basically tends to bring a lot of questions because now I'm looking at it mostly from the angle of the mostly from the angle of the urban settings we're building around us. Now there are a lot of flats. Some of the most affordable places you can stay in, especially if you're still building, putting your life together.
Yeah.
Are flats. And there are a lot of people that live in this place. It's big, after all, it's a flat. It has a lot of accommodations.
Yeah.
So, more often, it's not unheard of for you to start, hearing a scream in the next, next door, for example.
Mm.
And you can tell maybe from the, from the loud exchange of words that, there's an altercation going on there. Now, at this point, anything could happen.
Yeah.
Because these are in their own place.
And in many cases, there's a child also.
More often there's a child, there are kids involved. And now you have to, balance between minding your own business and staying out of people's affairs. And also trying to, but also at the back of your head, there's a part of you that's telling you that, any time in there, one of them could end up hurting the other. So, the solution to that now becomes somewhat of, do I call the police? Because when you call the police, first of all, the police shows up and they knock at that door and they are both going like, no, we're not doing anything.
No, nothing happened.
Yeah, no, nothing happened. Whoever told you that, they lied.
But then they know because they heard your phone call, Helmut. Because the walls are so paper thin. They heard you go like, hi operator, could you kindly respond to domestic violence incident
number.
Because I can't sleep, I'm trying to study, I'm a young student,
yeah.
Or I'm a bachelor, I'm a working professional, and I'd like a good night's rest.
Yeah.
And then you've gone and painted a target on your back because now homeboy believes, you might be trying to wedge yourself into his family setting. And he believes this is an internal dispute, which it technically is. Then you just sit there going like, okay.
Now the question is, what the heck do you do?
Yeah. How do you respond from this?
Exactly. Okay, this is scarier than I thought.
No, it is scary. It is a pretty dark subject.
I have come to learn that this report was not the report. The research that the report is based on was launched back in 2021.
Yeah, it builds from the first volume, it seems.
Yeah.
So they, from what I read, also specifically was that it was a setting of building from that basis as well.
Yeah, because you obviously want to keep up with the change in society. And now during the launch, they were basically a lot of. They were basically more like, trying to figure out more like, a few information that was not compiled into a report yet as to what are some of the, the main causes of this gender-based violence cases. And why more often the victims themselves, and I think this is something that was during a women conference last year.
Mm.
I think that's one of those things that was pointed out that someone who is abused will go and file a case with the police, and then a couple of days later they will go and withdraw the case.
Yeah.
Now
it's also mentioned here.
Exactly. Now at this point, the police officer is not going to go against what you want. They'll be like, okay, are you sure? They'll be like, are you sure? Well, we settled it at home. He apologized. Well,
he asked me if he could come back. If I could go back.
Now, at this point, if you're a police officer, what power do you have? You're talking to an adult. You can't tell them what to do. Oh no, this society is cooked.
Well, on the cooking front itself, it's obviously at boiling point. Because you also have to look at what are some of the factors that feed into what happens in a household setting. In a household setting, which is obviously the basis of when you start with economics and trying to understand economics itself, is that the household forms as your base for consumption. So we're talking about electricity, all those particular things. And at the heart of a household, this household needs to have income in order for it to procure all these services. So what am I actually saying? Some cases, it's a dispute about money. Mm-hmm. In other cases, it's a dispute probably about
infidelity in there.
A threat of infidelity or an accusation of infidelity.
Suspicion of infidelity.
Or a suspicion of infidelity. Or it was potentially a setting of, literally, there was some sense of insecurity, which the threat and the suspicion and the fear and the accusation speaks to, that there's a sense of an insecurity that also was also present. But at the heart of it was literally what the Problematic Minds report cites. 90% of the victims know or knew their perpetrators.
That's where, okay, we have a commercial break coming up. So we're going to take that break, pay the bills, then we continue this discussion on the other side. Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Stay tuned.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. We continue. The time is just a minute past the hour of five. So we're still talking about the problematic mindset report, which is based on gender-based violence and femicide statistics. So all gathered here at home, and it's pointing to multiple causes, or more like contributing factors, to domestic violence cases and their possible solutions. They say part before we get to the to the other part. So.
Yeah, so on the point of 90% of the survivors
knowing.
Oh, wait. This is even worse. Survivors. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let me start again.
How did you pick this topic again?
Okay. The youngest survivor that was cited in this report was the age of 4. The oldest survivor is 45. Abuse is most often, this is what the report says, abuse is most often prolonged and perpetrated by intimate partners, family members, or acquaintances, with 90% of the survivors knowing their perpetrators. Intimate partners, family members, or acquaintances.
So it's the people that you
know.
No, the people that you rely on for security that are causing the most insecurities.
Exactly. Now, the survivors also
identify.
You literally
have nowhere to hide then, do you?
That's also the worst part. Because, okay, let me answer that part.
Yeah.
So, and I always refer back to comments and things that I heard at that SGBV demonstrations of 2020. So, was it on day three? Of it. It began on a Wednesday and it obviously progressed all the way to the Saturday. With the Saturday obviously being one of Eagle FM's finest at the time, a former colleague of ours being, locked up. She was just picked up. Because the police on Saturday made us a whole bunch of arrests, and much of them were 17-year-olds or, they were new intern journalists and stuff like that. Okay. At the heart of what happened between that Wednesday and that Friday session, there were various protests happening as they were moving from one spot to another to another. At one time, on day one, they went to, from that, what's that, Fidel Castro and Independence at Zupac, that major four-way of Zupac.
Yeah.
And they walked up the road to Parliament, went there, you know, was busy toy-toying there in front of there on that steps, that platform that's just below the Parliament front door.
Yeah.
And then I still remember, what was it? The opposition party leader, Venani, came out and then a gas canister was thrown from behind him. No, was shot from behind him into the protesters. Because I saw it from the side. I was standing on the side. And then one of the protesters, a young man, picked up the same gas canister and threw it back. And it flew onto that point there, the front door of the parliament station, of the parliament, where people, the people were now standing with the police and the special field force, you know, trying to barricade any protesters. Because some of the young protesters, which mostly were young ladies and men, were trying to get up to the steps to get into the National Assembly.
Ouch.
And the police were barricading, you know, with their bodies. They made like these police like walls.
Police shields?
On, no. Yeah, but those guys came later on. And the police were literally, you know, creating like these human walls at the bottom of the steps, and they were pushing those people down.
Yeah.
Also, one of our former colleagues was was in that mix because she was pepper sprayed.
Ouch.
I know. You know, as a guy, sometimes when you know, anything can go wrong. You go stand on the side of the situation and you stand there, in Afrikaans, we call it a draadsitter. You know, you're sitting on the fence and you just sit there. You just stand there looking. You take your videos, you record your stuff and you stand there looking at them. And then when you see the thing go down, you just can't help but laugh sometimes. Because I mean, when people are still
watching everything from a distance.
When people are still trying to talk and they are journalists and they're then now in there in the mix because they are now the same age as the protesters and the police officer just decides, man,
which one is
if you are media or not, we track. And then they just, you know, they just unload there with a pepper spray can there in front of you.
Oh,
so
man.
I couldn't help. Obviously I laughed, but I couldn't help but laugh. So those developments are happening. Then by day three on the Friday.
Yeah.
They marched down to Ministry of Gender. Also, the police now had their riot gear out. They were now putting up their barricade in front of that main gate of Ministry of Gender from Independence Avenue. So I was standing on the, obviously in the front, once again on the side. And then one of the girls was, you know, going
very
extra,
good at doing
going
this
extra, man. You know, like trying pointing now in this police officer's face.
Yeah.
All that police officer said, because I was within earshot.
Yeah.
He said, but you know who the culprits are. You know who the perpetrators are. They are your fathers, your brothers, your cousins, your boyfriends, your husbands. Why are you shouting at us? And then, that, you know, it's the worst thing you could say to, you, if you show reality to people, it's the worst thing you reaction that you could say at that time, but it's actually the best response to give. Because all the girls went crazy. No, my brother would never do things like that. No, my boyfriend would never do things like that. But in many cases, we just heard it. It's family. It's a friend. It's an acquaintance.
Someone you know.
It's someone that the survivors and the victims know. Even the police will tell you this. Even, no matter which police force in the world will tell you. Helmut, when it comes to murders, the police will tell you one thing first. If it's a partner that died, they will, the first suspect is family and the other partner. First suspects.
Anyone that have watched Investigation Discovery just knows that the first suspect.
Oh,
the first suspect,
and women love that channel. They love that channel. They love it. Why? Because it speaks about facts.
In a very disturbing way, I might point out. Like, look, how those guys will fall asleep in an anime. They'll fall asleep. And then you turn that on. She was murdered and she was found brutally mutilated. And all of a sudden there is a wake as a rabbit.
Of course, because now there's suspense, because it's
human. Oh, it's in suspense, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas us guys, with our imagination, we are on Star Wars, then we come back to rugby, then we bounce off to Cristiano Ronaldo's value of his right foot, then we bounce back onto who is the new swimwear model for Sports Illustrated. And until then, we love everything to do with a car engine, even though we're not mechanics.
No.
Yeah, we just love the sound of a car engine, yeah. And then we come back to, we stick to reality. Ah. They love that subject matter. Unfortunately. Family member that loved, that's loved, I say.
And when you look,
she's moved on from that subject matter.
Thank heavens. You know, when
she still watches it.
Of course.
But I have to hear about previous sessions. But in many cases, the police were interviewed in it. They were always interviewed in it. And the police give you facts of the matter. The police will always tell you. If it's a husband that died, they suspect the wife or family. If it's a wife that died, they suspect the husband or family. Straightforward. You don't go look for, it's someone that broke in. They will look for signs of breaking in. They will look for signs of forced entry. They will look for signs of this. They will look for signs of that. And if they don't find it, okay, let me start with a very clear-cut example that happened in South Africa. Have you heard of the case of Henry van Breda?
The boy that
killed his mother, his father, and his eldest brother. And then he injured his sister.
His younger brother.
His younger sister
is the one that survived. Woke up in a coma, yeah.
Yeah. No, she woke up from the coma.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you know what the police did, Helmut? So, Henry was the one that called it in. And Henry.
Oh yeah, he's the one that called the police.
Yeah. And he was the one that then told the police it was two colored guys, come on. It was two colored guys that broke into the gated community and just targeted their house. Chopped up his mom and dad and his younger brother with an axe.
Yeah.
And somehow the dog survived with Henry and then hurt his sister.
What was stolen?
They interviewed the police officers.
What was stolen?
Nothing.
Exactly. That's the part that he missed. That.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Now, do you know what's the worst case? Yeah. What the police, because there was someone that wrote a book about it. It happened here during the COVID period.
Oh, man. The auntie was defending that guy.
Yeah. So, the worst case scenario was, and guess what? His father was like the owner of a very well-established vineyard, a wine-producing property.
They were pretty loaded because I understand they lived in Australia before.
They lived in South Africa.
Yeah.
They moved to Australia and then they came back.
To South Africa. Yeah.
And they were pretty well off.
Yeah.
And I'll get to the summary. I'll get to the end. But at the heart of the discussion, the police officers asked one thing. They looked for one thing. That moment that they had to show up and respond to the scene.
Yeah.
Henry was sitting outside and then the dog comes out from inside the house. The dog.
Yeah.
The family dog comes out. And the family dog is all lovey-dovey around Henry. And then the two police officers see this phenomenon by just looking at him going like, but his story just said that there were burglars. Guys that broke in and that technically caused all this carnage.
First of all, no sign of it.
That was the thing that gave Henry away. The response of the dog to Henry. The response of the dog to Henry. What was the scenario? At the end, Henry wanted money to go and party. Like many of us teenage guys, we used to love to do. We go ask money from the parents. Parents says, why do you want to go hang out? Who are you going to hang out with? Why did you want to do this? Why did you want to do that? Uh-uh. Dad said, nah, you're not going out.
Mom said no.
Mom also said no. Henry blows a gasket, flips the whole script, decides to go grab an axe, chops up his dad, chops up his mom, chops up his little brother, injures almost kills his sister, his little sister, and then he calls the police. Same thing of Tink Tink.
He was found seated outside. First of all, if you were attacked and your sister is laying in a pool of blood with some signs, the only one showing some signs of life. Wouldn't you be, I don't know, ambulance maybe?
He called the police, remember. He called the police first, and then the police responded with the ambulance. They get most of the response call together.
Yeah.
Either the one calls the other, or the other calls the, calls the one. Do you know what was the other thing that also gave Henry away?
What's that?
Is the distance they had to drive from the front gate of the gated community to get to his property, to get to where he and his parents lived.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we
and
saw
the fence. There was CCTV everywhere.
Yeah. Obviously, we're talking about gender-based violence.
Yeah.
But I'm citing the dynamic from which all police operate from is a dynamic of if it's a severe crime that happens in a family household setting, you don't have to go and look for exaggerated or for going a wild goose chase for someone. Sometimes, and in most cases, this is the case. The perpetrator is right in front of the police. And the police starts, the police always start suspecting from there. They don't start with a neighbor who did what. Because the weirdest thing was, the police also went and asked all the neighbors, did the dogs bark? Did you see any funny people coming into the property? Everyone said no. The dog was fine. And then they asked, how is Henry's dog, the family dog of the Van Breda's, how does the dog respond to visitors? Then they all said, no, that dog is pretty vicious. That dog feels like today is the day that you're going to become a nice, T-bone steak for that day, for that dog.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. So there was a bunch of a burglar storm in a house.
Yeah.
The dog all of a sudden became really nice, didn't even bark. And then just butchered everyone and left all the all the valuables, just stormed out.
The second thing, obviously,
and
made...
also they got in spiritually because there was no sign of forced
entry. There was no sign of forced entry. And obviously there was CCTV. They couldn't also find any evidence.
Yeah, you can imagine the guy, the guy said the gateway, like, well,
what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Now, obviously the most popular case specifically of a perpetrator and a victim literally dating each other, which became, Southern African news in Namibia and South Africa, was the case of Oscar Pistorius and his girlfriend. What was her name? The pretty woman. Yeah, it was a pretty woman. Strijdom or Steenkamp.
The one who was killed in Valentine's Day? A different one.
Yeah, she was shot through the toilet door. She was in the toilet. And he shot through the door with military grade ammunition.
How did he put his hands on that?
This is South Africa, remember?
Yeah.
Don't you realize what the South Africans are calling their own country? South Africa is a comedy show. You just see weird things happen every day. So, what was her name, daughter?
Hang on a second.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Hang on a second. Those two had a history of...
Was it Rita Steen? No, it wasn't Rita Steenkamp. What was her name?
Those two had a history of basically abusing their relationship before the matter?
Before that event.
It was
building up to such an event. She was even at one stage Miss South Africa.
Yeah, she was a model.
Rita. What was her name?
Oh.
But anyway, that's the quintessential scenario that.
Oh dear.
That this report explains. Now, in this report, Helmut, the Riva Steenkamp, yeah, that's her name, Riva. The report also cites that some of the survivors who were locked up, I'm gonna be the victim or he's gonna be the victim.
Yeah.
Scenario.
Yeah.
It was a do or die scenario.
Yeah.
Now, people have to understand, guys, that this is a setting that shows how this violence has been building up, because it speaks, like the report says, it was a prolonged scenario that built up. The violence had been building up. The violence did not go away. Relations or behavior or attitude between the partners did not improve. Things were just becoming worse and worse. Now, when we see things becoming worse and worse, in many cases, and this is ultimately what the psychologists in this report highlight, is that this is inevitable.
So
someone will die.
So more often it starts with a few exchange of words, then it escalates to into an altercation or two, and then it begins to get physical, and then it just goes downhill from there.
But remember, expand this over a long period.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We're saying 3 to 4 to 5 to 10 years. It can be long.
Yeah,
I mean, in Pistorius' case, he and Riva were like dating for a pretty long time, like I think for more 10 years or so. They were dating for a pretty long time.
And then at the end of the day, there's just with that one day where things just go off a cliff.
Well, one of the scenarios was primarily continuously the accusation that he kept making that she will leave him. And he didn't want her to leave him because obviously he's most disabled, firstly. But he's like a multi-million rand athlete.
Yeah.
He was earning a whole bunch of money because he was winning so much money. But the guy also had a weird obsession in a collection of firearms.
Okay.
Which is one of the weirdest things. As a disabled person, how do you have a weird collection of firearms?
I think it can also be factored into the disability and the fear of what happens if I get attacked since I'm disabled.
They lived in a gated community, Hamoud.
Oh, what's it with the guns collection?
Exactly! They lived in a gated community! Do you know what's the worst part?
I like guns, but in Call of Duty.
Oscar Pistorius gave the same exact reason for things happening. Supposedly someone broke into his gated community home. And he thought it was a burglar hiding in the toilet. What? And he shot like multiple rounds through the door.
Okay. And you're supposed to find out, honey, where you first before you start shooting.
Yeah.
Like even if someone, if I was sleeping with my girlfriend or wife in the middle of the night, and there's a noise somewhere, the first thing I want to find,
she would wake you up.
Yeah, the first thing you want to do is make sure that everyone is accounted for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are the kids? Are they fine? Well, where's the wife?
Yeah.
Well, is that the dog? Because you're trying to ascertain what's going on here.
Yeah.
Unless you are caught in a corner in a way of, you don't have time to think. But now, if you look into guns regulations, chance of that happening are really slim because a gun is going to always be in the safe. That's if you're a responsible gun owner.
Well, in Namibian context, Hamoud, if a burglar is on your private property,
yeah,
you have the right to defense, my guy. It's trespassing. Why was the burglar trespassing? And then you would have some weird whack pot politician coming out and saying, yeah, this is Namibia, everything. And they tried to subscribe to that.
Okay, first of all, what is
Pan-African?
What's the burglar doing in your bathroom?
Exactly.
Boy, I don't have a lot of questions.
Exactly, Helmut.
How expensive is your soap?
Exactly.
Y'all are very lucky I went with soap. But anyway,
you could have said toilet paper, How expensive was the toilet paper?
Nah, I could have gone worse. But
please, Helmut, let's enjoy this Friday,
Yeah, which is why, I came with some filters today. So, the biggest problem then you have here with this, with this whole issue is that, first of all, it's as old as time. It's not something that's new. It's just that now that we live in a large urbanized community, the frequency of the information keeps popping up even, even faster. And now you're looking at two major problems here. The victims, the victims that survive these kind of things, are more often, you know, and this is a global phenomenon, not just in Namibia, not just in Namibia. They'll file a case today and then withdraw it tomorrow because, well, peers changed. Now, that's one. You have, the victims protecting the perpetrators. And also you have, the relatives most likely protecting the perpetrators. Now, when you factor in the cultural, you know, the cultural aspect of, like, the protection aspect of, this whole toxic, relationship traits of, if I can't have you, no one will. I think that's where, I think that slowly factors into, into Oscar's story, like, the whole insecurity of, even if you just go and get a haircut or go and do your hair.
Yeah.
What's he doing now? Or what is he doing now? Then you have all these weird scenarios that's just popping up in your head. And then someone shows up with a nice haircut. And you are like, where were you? Why do you have a haircut? So, insecurity issues, I think, is one of the major is one of the major contributing factors. But, one thing the report points out, that's on page 14, I took that, yeah, is that, two main things, especially, culture and religion. These two things can either be very good, contributing factors to solving the problem or exacerbating the problem.
Yep.
Yeah. If you look at both, like you just pointed out, not all of us can afford counseling because, therapists are very expensive because, they spend a lot of time in school to basically get those qualifications. Religious leaders also, at least that's what I know from the denomination I belong to. Religious leaders also double as counselors.
Yeah.
So if you want someone to load your problems, more like to share your issues with in terms of basically of loading the emotional burden that you have with regards to what you're going through, you can sit with them. Mm. So religious leaders can help in this. And traditionally, elders can help with this.
Elders can help as well.
Parents can help with this. Guardians, those ones that are trusted guardians. Not now. If you are still partying with your niece and nephews, what advice are you going to have? We just went chilling together. Now we are going to. Yeah.
Now you're giving advice over a beer bottle, over a tafel.
I saw what you did with that total stranger guy in the corner. You know, now you want to give me advice. So, both traditionally and religiously, counseling shouldn't be a problem.
Mm.
So, because, you have a lot of people that you can talk to. Unless you tell me we have, we are so paranoid with regards to these things that we don't want to talk to any of them, which then is going to draw a very scary picture. Because if you can't trust a religious or, religious leaders or family members or, or your traditional leaders, then we are sitting with a massive societal problem here. Now, the whole idea of, going to the police to open up a case and then go the next day there, he apologized, with a vrupa. That apology came with a vrupa. Now you are withdrawing the case.
Okay, I don't know which guy has apologized like that, Almut.
Yeah, but people that know how to apologize, the pressure is getting worse for those of us that are broke. But
and then you find out it's the older brother's vrupa that showed that he showed up.
Oh, man. Yeah. So when it comes to talking is not much of a big deal for me, especially when it comes to finding out who to talk to, because we all have that one person or two that we can freely open up to. And, in church, you can find these people. But a spiritual husband. All I'm saying is, this is just a heart-to-heart conversation of, this is what I'm going through, Father. not daddy. Turns out they said that then. Father, this is what I'm going through. Confession. I blame the internet for this one. Now, it messed up.
You are on your own, that one. You're on your own. You're on your own.
It's me and the internet. Yeah, well, I watched a meme.
Yeah.
I watched a meme on that, where a lady went for a confession and pointed out that what,
Oh my god, I remember that meme.
Yeah, forgive me, daddy, for I've sinned. And
the priest goes, the priest was like, for the last time,
is forgive me, father,
for I have sinned.
The internet will be the end of us. But look, when it comes to basically sharing all these issues, we have parents, we have guardians, we have spiritual leaders, we have traditional leaders, or we have someone in authority. Authority in a way that someone we trust that this person I can talk about my, you know, I can talk to them about my problems. For me, I have a couple of uncles mostly. Don't ask, long story. But before we continue, we're going to take a short break. On the other side, we continue with basically talking about this GBVF discussion. Stay tuned.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nenge lo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
So, this, put yourself in a shoe of a police officer. I think this is where a complementary relationship is needed from, especially the victims. Because, chances of the perpetrator just walking in the front door saying that, well, I'm abusing my spouse or I'm abusing my child. That, that rarely happens, if ever. Yeah, but the victim, It's more often up to the victim to basically, seek help. And, which basically paints a very dark picture because now I feel like I'm blaming the victim for finding themselves in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's never a nice thing to, even if you deal with facts of the matter.
Yeah.
And then you realize, okay, but the victim was partially also,
kept withdrawing the case.
Or contributing to a scenario. Why do I say a scenario? Here's a specifically sort of like, chilling factor to factor into this discussion. How about the report cites? And this is one of the things that are scary. The report cites, in many cases of instances of gender-based violence or violence against children, alcohol or substances were part of the what happened situation. For example, they cite the substance abuse discussion. Let me cite it like, put it like this. Open quote. Substance use also emerged as a critical contributing factor. So it is actually not just a contributing factor. It's a critical contributing factor.
Yeah.
With 67% of the survivors reporting alcohol consumption before or during the incidents. Now, here's the thing that made it even more trickier. The presenter of this report, which was the One Economy Foundation's, what's the psychologist's name? Dr. Veronica Theron. She expanded on this statement itself by saying, for the police, it makes it even weirder, Helmut. Because now if the police ask, so how did this happen? Or if a rape kit is being conducted on a victim, And they asked the victim, did you consume? Were you drunk? In what state were you? How clearly can you remember the events? What transpired? Those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
And they discover that the victim was also part of the party. The victim had consumed some substances or alcohol.
Yeah.
It makes things very difficult for even the police to help you. Why? Because you were not sober. And if you are not sober, the, you know, trying to literally sketch the picture for someone become, to help you, the person that needs to help you, it makes it further, way more difficult for that person to trust you because you were drunk. And drunk or in a high speaks to you made yourself defenseless. That's the reason why the doctor herself said in the presentation 2 weeks back, it's not to beat down on a victim.
On the victims, yeah.
But these are some of the feedback that they...
It's making it difficult for the authorities, for example.
To give like assistance, help, yeah. Because now the authorities also see, but you also have a substance use issue. Or you also have a problem in staying sober. So, it's... There are ugly dynamics participating in how to deal with the root causes of things. And I know... For some reasons, for example, some of the various conversations we've had here on the radio,
yeah.
Where even our callers also, you know, contributed to certain particular dynamics, specifically when it comes to social cohesion and to try and have this, you know, improved, safe societies in the country, was some of our callers have cited, you know, why doesn't the government try to clamp down on alcohol dealership, you know, the selling of alcohol? But the thing it makes it difficult is because alcohol is a legally recognized product to be sold in the country. It just has certain limitations when it comes to public holidays, Sundays and Saturdays. That's it. So.
I mean, that's like, okay, this is just my own comparison. That's like saying there are too much irresponsible drivers. Let's stop importing cars.
Yeah. Let's ban the selling of cars just because of a bunch of guys that we're told you must first get a license.
This is the speed limit.
This is the speed limit. This is how you drive in that speed limit because you get trained as you go for your license classes or your learner's classes. You get trained and coached there already so you know about the laws of the road.
Yeah.
And people still cause accidents. People still drive and then still drink alcohol and then want to get behind the wheel and then they still cause accidents. And we all were told what are the penalties. If you drink and drive, or if you are drunk and you drive.
Well, you don't have to be told that because it's written right behind the bottle.
That too. Now, what more must the alcohol industry do, Helmut? What must they do?
I don't know, hire a chauffeur to
drive
you around.
If you're a 21-year-old and you don't listen. If you're a 25-year-old man with a lot of money behind you, or you are enjoying the fruits of your end-of-month paycheck, or you got paid on the 20th, doesn't matter which one. And you want to drink on a Friday and you want to drink on a Saturday.
Do you really need a babysitter at that age?
Bruh, the situation is one of, you can see it every weekend.
Yeah.
There are certain robots. Every weekend, they are literally crash test dummies.
Look.
For someone's ability to drive under the influence.
Look, along Seminyoma Drive, when you're coming from, when you're coming from Clanewin to Kuni Way to town.
Oh, so I'm going back. I'm heading west.
I don't know how to call that intersection. The first one, you know, the first one that you find, you have this flats here.
Is the one of Ventuk High or where are you?
No, Ventuk High is way far before you get to the Botanical Gardens.
Are you talking about this one?
Yeah, there's this intersection just right, just right at the corner of the Botanical Gardens.
Botanical Gardens.
Yeah.
You're talking about that T-junction.
I'm not sure if it's a T-junction because...
It comes out of Klein Ventuk and it connects into Seminyoma.
Yeah, connects into Seminyoma. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's literally the only corner that the Botanical has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, on my way home yesterday, there's someone, driving what looked like a TSI. Mm. That rammed into poles right next to the flats. At that, you know, of that junction.
That's painful.
Yeah. So they called the towing guys because the car was basically immobilized. Yeah, they called in the tow guys and I think it was just minor damage. It's just I don't think anyone was hurt because I didn't see any ambulance. So I'm not saying it's alcohol induced. I'm just saying driving responsibly.
Yeah.
One of the best driving advice that Chicken ever gave me was like, when you're driving in Windhoek, assume everyone is drunk, then you're safe. Then you will, because you will, you know, you will be sober. But if you just assume everyone has common sense, especially during the weekend, that's on you.
That's the worst advice, I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me?
I bumped into Chicken last night. I know Chicken gives a lot of bad advice.
Are you kidding me? That's the most. Oh, it's a. Wait, he was doing a deaf comedy.
Yeah. And I laughed. Since he was the interpreter.
For a deaf rapper. I know. Sabino is good at that. Being vigilant helps.
Yeah.
Being vigilant helps because I've seen.
But you can't be a vigilante, remember?
Not Robin Hood.
Yeah. Robin Hood is still something else. I discovered Namibia had a few Robin Hoods.
Really?
Yeah. I won't mention names. Okay. They have kids today. Yeah. Really? I really don't want to get beaten up at the gate. Really?
The courses that were found to be exacerbating the problems of gender-based violence and femicide in Namibia. Now, you have to understand that, it's more often because of the number of victims. More often when you're talking about gender-based violence, it's very easy to assume that only women are caught in the, only women are caught into, only women are the victims in this. Although if you look at the numbers, this is just not in Namibia, this is globally. When it comes to domestic violence or more like gender-based violence cases, more often the victims are women. But, men also make the statistics of the, I know it's one of those things that, I think mostly culturally influenced point of view on this subject. It's kind of difficult to to wrap your mind around that a man can be abused. But we saw that. We saw that with one of the biggest cases that can be used as an example in that scenario, Johnny Depp. That's the case that went to court. Where Amber Heard played the victim card, but she's a terrible actor. And then,
she's an actress.
And
she didn't know how to act the one thing.
I know.
That us guys cannot even fathom to act because why? Your opening line stated it, Helmut. What would the police say? Who beat you up?
Who beat you?
My girlfriend.
Who? Oh, your girlfriend.
Your officer. Girlfriend. Oh, now speak up, man. They'll even tell you, speak up, stand up straight.
Act
like a man, sometimes.
That is the language.
I don't know how to act like a man. At that point, I would like, what do you mean, bruh?
The thing is, if you act like a quote unquote a man and basically start going all Mike Tyson on that woman, those guys that are laughing at you for filing that report are the ones that are going to show up to handcuff you.
Yep.
Yeah, so that whole act like a man thing coming from a police officer, don't fall for it.
Yep.
Don't fall for it. It's a trap. Because if you act like full Mike Tyson, the same guy giving you act like a man advice is the one that's gonna show up with handcuffs. And he's gonna take you to, behind bars where some guys there will act like a man on you, literally. Now, did not come out as nice as it was in my head. Now, so you have a very complicated situation here where you have a lot of these societal ills that you have the security class that tries to clamp on, but more often victims come to the rescue of their perpetrators more than once, and then things get to the point where they are, you know, where they are hit in a way that they're literally killed. And at this point, that's when we start now basically talking about these things in a sense of, well, why does these things keep happening? But, these things don't, more often, when people find themselves, you know, when people find themselves going physical, chances are very high they have been quarreling for a while.
Yeah.
It's either that or one of them has a serious abuse issue, like a physical abuse, physical abuse issue. And now when you factor in the problem, or, you know, the problem that you opened with, of saying, be careful of how you get involved into people's affairs. Now that problem balloons. Commercial break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
So, imagine being a police officer and you have to deal with this.
That's the thing, Helmut, because what people don't realize...
You really are eager to help someone.
Yeah.
But you can't help them against their will. Plus, now, of course, this is not to discredit those ones that are just working with the authorities to try to, you know, for them to seek help, because there are those ones in all these statistics. The biggest problem, especially when it comes to solving the problem, is more often the perpetrators that are, you know, come sometimes in defense. Not the perpetrators, the victims that more often comes in defense of their perpetrators.
Yeah.
And then things keeps getting worse. And you really want to help them, but...
But you can see you need consent.
You need consent.
You need approval.
It makes things weird. It's one of the reasons Helmut also today, which many journalists don't know. You need consent to identify a victim. You need consent from the police to make something public. And then you'll have some journalists popping up and say, no, it's in the public's interest. And then the question that still persists, and this is one of the rules that I had to experience in on the job versus a rule experienced being trained in the classroom. And this is sometimes also where the theory part of things misses out of discussion. For example, just now, before I came back to the studio, I was quickly in the field doing a quick interview and an assignment specifically with here at one particular school. But it's nothing to do with gender-based violence. It was just I'm just showing the question, the discussion about consent. The subject matter was there, because the invite from a parent who has a child at the school said, please come and interview the teacher and the children about this particular endeavor that they're participating in. This is a good thing. It actually speaks to Namibia's overall skills development programs and also to the industrialization Namibia wants and the business community that Namibia wants to build up and the joblessness that Namibia is trying to combat.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I had to do, Helmut, first I asked permission from the two teachers whether or not the learners that they want to, you know, that they wanted me to interview as well have, you know, that I have consent to interviewing them and having this conversation with them. I had to seek this particular, you know, discussion.
Yeah.
So many journalists are just about popping out a camera, phone,
and then just going away. There was one time. It was just one time. There was someone that said, when such an activity happened where, you know, one journalist approached, we were like a whole bunch at one setting. This was 2020, 2021 situations. And one journalist asked, you know, they just asked the question of the person because they and the person knew each other. But when I asked, can we use your comment? Then the person says no, which was a universal no to even the journalist that they knew. That who asked them the question.
Yeah.
So in the discussion of consent, because in Namibia, and this is something that has now started sort of like annoying me a little bit. I should not speak about my own personal feelings in our discussion regarding certain developments in a sector in an industry. But in many cases, many media professionals forget that consent is an important thing. You'll hear about consent, for example, in the gender-based violence discussions, which was some of the major talking points coming about. And when you look at that, it is as if, in some cases, Namibians don't know how to ask permission for something, but then they think something else is primarily open access, free for all, let's take and use and abuse and do whatever we want with the thing. You can't. Even if I'm standing on a road, you have to, even if I'm standing there on the pavement outside the office, ne?
Yeah.
You have to ask consent of me if you want to take a photo of me.
Yeah.
Ask my consent. Because if you don't, you are open to be sued left, right, and center. There is no defense because then the court, look, it'll be a civil case, but the court will ask you, did you ask permission?
Yeah.
And if you don't say no and you were asked, so why did you take the photo? And if you use the defense of, it was for the public's interest. And then the court will ask you, what facet of Dwight's life is of public interest to the public? And if you can't answer that test, Helmut, that defense falls like nothing into the toilet pot and it flushes away. Literally. So when it comes to discussions like this, in many cases, consent, even when it comes to very, you know, very grievous crimes like murder and GBV, because in many of the cases from this report, what you see in the background is that in many cases, there was a lot of murder.
Yeah.
Because remember, if you say the survivors, meaning these are the guys, these are the women or the partners or the guys who survived GBV abuse.
The fortunate ones. Yeah.
But they are in jail because they killed the partner that was abusive. And then the perpetrators are the guys where the intervention was so late that they acted or they ended up killing their partner.
Yeah.
They are the guys sitting in correctional services. The reason as to why correctional services is one of the sources of this data for this report is because that many of the guys were in correctional services already. They were in jail already. So you either had the survivors in the women's prison or you either had the men, which were the perpetrators, in the men's prison. Do you see literally the Mortal Kombat situation? And I know it's not a pun that I'm using, but it literally is a life and death situation. This is not the kind of society Namibia wants.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, everything, all roads lead to Rome. Everything is going to either directly or indirectly impact the economy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, what you have is if someone is going through, you know, a domestic abuse, they are not going to be very productive when they are going through that. Because first of all, they are going to show up at work either very, grumpy, or they just show up in not in a very good way that they have to work with others because, you know, at some point you'll have to work with others around you. You are not working in isolation.
Yeah.
You're going to, now it's even worse for, you know, it's even worse for people like you and me because, every day we have to come here and then sit and then, basically break down information of whatever topic that we're talking about, without breaking down in tears. That'd be weird. Now, welcome to Mind the Game. Okay, that'll be on Sunday. But now, the humor, not the crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank heavens I'm not there yet and hoping I'm never going to get there. Yeah. So, and I can only imagine, you know, I can only imagine people that work on, you know, that work in television because not only do they have to, you know, to sound professional, they also have to look professional. Now, also you now have people that are supposed to be contributing, contributing positively in a lot of positive ways to the society. Now they are behind bars. Yeah. And also you have, a tax dollars basically being channeled that direction. And you have the lives that were taken and those people were positive, productive members of society. Now they are not contributing, they are not contributing to this, to the economy because, they are not with us anymore. So, in one way or another, on both sides, on both the victim and the perpetrator, if things are left unsolved for an extended period of time in a way that it gets worse, not only are the family members impacted, the society is impacted. And, we are human. You and I may not directly know a victim. Of domestic abuse. But, every time you find stories like that, it really reaches deep within your humanity in terms of sympathy. All these things, you know, it, bottom line, not good for society. How do you solve it? Yeah. Well, you now bring in the authorities.
Yeah.
Bring in the authorities. And you obviously, like as in everything else, you have the victims that are playing ball with authorities and in genuinely seeking help, and you have some that are shielding their perpetrators. Now those are the biggest problem I think for the authorities. But before I continue, life reads.
Namibia, are you ready to win big? Coca-Cola is giving away up to $1 million Namibian in prizes. Every week, one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash. All you have to do is grab your favorite Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Stony, or Twist in 2 liters, 1.25 liters, or 600 ml bottles. Look under the yellow cap, dial *142*45845 # punch in your code, follow the prompts to enter, and just like that, you could be our next big winner. Refresh, enjoy, and win with Coca-Cola. T's and C's apply. Go to our social media pages to watch the video on how to enter the competition. Vivica University for the 2026 applications, which are now open for the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education. Programs on offer, Diploma in Legal Studies Level 6, Bachelor of Laws Honours, Bachelor of Science in Project Management Honours, Bachelor of Supply Chain Management Honours, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours, Math and Science for the grades 4 to 7, Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours for Math and Science for the grades 8 to 12. Application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvica University, where everyone is an achiever.
Welcome back. Because we only have 2 minutes before the hour of David Shombe / business and economic segment, the report also does reach a conclusion and where they provide recommendations. And I like how, you know, they structured the recommendation in a way that, they were a perpetrator tailored recommendations. The part of a conclusion that I just want to cite is, Now, the perspective of perpetrators revealed that harmful masculinities, poor emotional regulation and substance abuse are common drivers of violent behavior. Like he just pointed out, you have a, you know, well, you know, these are just, you're just going out to blow off some steam after having a long, hard working week.
Yeah.
You know, as a couple, you go out and have, you know, a few beers or two. And then someone is, dancing to Davido very enticingly. And then turn and look at them. Then while the fight starts, and then we go home angry. And then we get home and start, literally kicking the heck out of each other. So that's one of those many ways it's that, but in most cases, from the look of things, substance abuse is involved. Mm. Whether it's drugs more often, I can't prove the illegal aspect of it, but alcohol is a very, is a very large part of it. So then recommendations, you have recommendations, and you have, one of the recommendations I find interesting is the one for combat stigma and fear, where they pointed out that, launch confidential reporting channels and community awareness campaigns to challenge societal stigma that keeps survivors silent, yeah. Ensuring that communities view violence as a collective issue rather than a private matter. This is where, where you as a being concerned, the neighbor, hearing, commotion in the house next door, and then you call the authorities. And by the time that the police comes, both the, they have already made up. And now you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
So, Because the bottom line is, although you have the right to your privacy and, privacy, that's your right. But, whatever is happening in terms of physical abuse, sooner or later is going to come out and impact the whole society.
Mm.
That's just something, that's just something to keep at the back of your head with, it's my life, my choice type, type of mentality. Strengthening support systems increase the availability of counseling, therapy, and safe shelter, especially in rural and under-resourced areas. That conclusion took me back to the question that those two ladies asked the Minister of Finance during the engagement with the Ministry, with the Ministry of Gender Equality.
Yeah.
About the, these safe areas where people that are running away from abuse, running away from abuse are supposed to be sheltered. Of course, they are operated by, operated from the look of things by a collabo between the Ministry of Gender and the Ministry of Home Affairs, Safety and Security, because you need the safety and security to provide the security component.
Mm.
Yeah. And now, substance abuse rehabilitation, where you know that, there are not a lot of drunk people that will tell you that I'm drunk. I know that because I've been drunk.
In many cases, we believe we are in the best shape. But then our motor skills are like, yo, what?
Man, this sucks.
Someone looking at you is like, yo, look at this guy.
Me drunk,
everything
no.
Everything is slow-mo.
Now stand on one leg. No, you can't tell me what to do. Just listen to me. I'm not drunk. And homeboy is wasted. Exactly.
Never.
So, when it comes to drug and substance abuse, it's very easy to live in denial. I don't need help.
Mm.
No, I'm fine. I don't need help. But then you can see that, this substance is, has altered. One thing you cannot deny is that, this substance has altered the way that you are, has really changed your whole personality. But no, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I don't need help. And this is very true for a lot of, this is very true for a lot of addictions. Like, gambling is rarely, every time that we talk about, addiction, we more often think of it in terms of smoking and alcohol. But addiction is a very wide,
it takes various forms.
Yeah, it's a very broad concept.
Yeah, it takes various forms. You get gambling addiction, and people don't talk much about that.
No, we don't talk much about that.
Then there's obviously
more often when you talk about addiction, it's alcohol and drugs.
Then there's also medication addiction.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of people that were addicted to medication, bro. It's ugly. And this is usually prescribed meds.
Yeah.
Your doctor telling you, hey, Helmut, take this, you know. Your sinus is an issue. Instead of you just going, really?
One of the most least talked about addiction that I always basically talk about with my friends? Because, well, I was born and raised in a Christian family, so I have a very, well, religious background. So
no one was disputing that.
So every, there's a reason why I'm laying that foundation.
Yeah.
Every time that we say, basically sit around to talk about, the thing is, celibacy is an important part of Christianity. You know, sex before marriage discussion. And I have that discussion with a lot of my friends, especially when we're in religious settings.
Yeah.
Now, research indicates one of the biggest issue that is more often, at least, that is least talked about is porn addiction.
Oh, yes.
Now, when you are having that discussion from an African perspective, throw in culture and religion.
No, but that's what the report also says.
You are never, exactly. Yeah. You are never going to hear that. But the point is, celibacy has drove a lot of people into porn addiction. But no one is going to talk about that, not in a traditional setting, not in a religious setting. There are not a lot of people talking about that, but this is a big underlying problem.
It's a massive, not a big, it's massive, a massive one. Problem.
Unaddressed.
The weirdest thing is also now, couples then go have boys, and this boy has internet access everywhere.
24/7. Jordan Peterson on that discussion pointed out something interesting that, thanks to the internet, a 14-year-old today can have access to more nude pictures than a medieval king was for his entire life.
Yeah.
But still, let's not talk about it.
Still.
Yeah.
No, it's not even a conversation.
No, we're not talking about that.
No,
it's a taboo. No. So now you have this brewing nuke, which is someday going to explode. But hey, that's for mostly traditional.
I'll just to end on that note, Helmut, there's actually some weird things that I've heard. The teenage boys these days.
Yeah.
Hey, I think you would have also seen it on social media. It was primarily a time like just before COVID it happened. Just after COVID, it happened. And it happened on both sides of the SGBV demonstrations of 2020.
Yeah.
It was literally a setting of... it started with one girl. Starts with one lady, young lady, that goes onto her Twitter or Facebook or Instagram account. And she posts this massive post where she's got friends and followers following her.
Yeah.
Making an allegation to a sexual assault. And then people just come and out other people there.
Oh.
I've seen it so many times. Okay, actually only twice. Last time I had an ugly fallout with one guy who decided to, screenshot and share things. And then I asked this guy, do you know that you are inadvertently roping us into a potential court case based upon defamation of character? And you and I know what defamation is based upon, Helmut. Defamation has to, this is the criteria for it. You have to identify three people, an audience, someone posting this thing, and someone who this content is about.
And we're not very good at privacy.
And the audience needs to understand the language, firstly. And must be able to read, secondly. No, people don't understand this. But I know you've seen scenarios like that before.
Yeah.
But
It happens, I mean, many cases online. So, yeah.
Well, we're done for the day.
Yeah, and for me to conclude, it's there are serious underlying issues in Namibia.
Yep.
On that note, guys, let's see each other again next week or on Sunday for my case. Helmut obviously will also be in on Sunday.
Yeah.
But it'll just be me from Monday to Friday next week specifically. Helmut is going to Hawaii. You
know, how I wish.
To go and kick back a few, you know, what do they call that? Umbrella induced drinks.
How I wish.
So, yeah. Until next week, let's see each other again, same time, guys, or on Sunday alternatively. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your programming in our company.
Yeah, and it's Friday, guys, so just chill responsibly.
Please.
Yeah.